don't know. I'm with them on that. That's pretty interesting. It's like, which came first, the platypus egg or the... I don't know, I lost that metaphor. Chicken. Chicken? I don't know. You get the spirit of my argument
there. Your metaphors today are spot on.
They're spotty, like your dad's underwear on a Friday night. Hello, and welcome to the Super Animal Mega Beast Deathmatch Podcast, Season 5, Round 2. This is, of course, the podcast where we make up imaginary animals with badass powers and get drunk and debate which one would win in a fight to the death. I'm Norm Sherman. With me, I have your usual surly lot of good-for-nothings, Jumblecast art director Bo Kier. Hey, Bo.
Hello.
And we have our resident pretentious faux intellectual, Luke.
Fuck off.
Luke, apparently...
I think faux intellectual is really what made him angry.
Faux intellectual?
Yeah.
I think that's giving him some credit, actually.
No. I like the faux part. It's intellectual.
You just like it because it's French, and that's even more pretentious than anything else. That's my
right
idea.
You are.
What are you drinking, Luke? What are you drinking?
Well, some whiskey.
Ah, Maker's Mark?
Maker's Mark, yes. But listen to this. It's not just Maker's Mark. I infused it with bacon. Myself.
I mean, whiskey with bacon sounds pretty awesome, but...
Yeah, it is.
I don't know.
You know, it's better whiskey and your dad.
That's a whole new idea for whiskey dick there. There we have our, of course, our notably monkey-shaped eczema vector, Kendall.
Monkey-shaped. I'm actually pretty down. I'm pretty depressed today because... I promise Luke's dad that if the President of the United States ever endorsed gay marriage, then we would get married.
Yeah. President Obama did just apparently announce that he's all for some gay marriage.
Oh, I know it. I've heard already from Luke's dad. Like, he's left me all these voice messages. And
I just connected the internet and I saw Vidal Sassoon had died, so I was assuming that was where the sadness was originating from.
Probably. Luke, how's your dog? How's that going? Is better?
Yeah, yep, made a full recovery. She's
how
about that?
So, yeah. So I think per the terms of our competition, she now has the power of parvovirus.
Well, Luke, I'm glad you're excited and everything, but just bear in mind that all things do die, and at some point you're going to lose that dog, and it's going to be very sad, and so just keep that in the back of your mind at all times, that she's going to leave you at some point.
The good news is that Luke will eventually die himself, so he'll no longer be sad for the dog.
That is great news. All right, well, why don't we recap the last round? So last round, the winner wasn't Squirrel, much to my chagrin. The lesser panda was the winner. Mm. So he will go on to absorb the powers of his combatants, fallen foes, and become more convoluted.
There might be some new people that don't actually know that, but... the red panda, you know, winning the vote means more than just he won the vote. We're going to see him again. He's going to have some kind of a hybrid combination power set from the other two.
Well, when you look at what we're going up against this week, I mean, I think red panda's got a good shot against anybody. Oh. I mean, so I was looking up, you know how we had like the new social media integration where you can hashtag like MBDM 2012, right, or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I was... really excited about that. That was a great idea. But so then I looked, searched up the hashtag, and at that time, I'm not saying it's only happened once since then, but at that time, there's like one tweet that even a hashtag.
Yeah,
so Twitter, like, that gave me a lot of perspective, and I was like, oh.
Two factors on the Twitter thing. One, it automatically dumps any hashtag records after a week. Two, nobody's doing it. I think we maxed out at 5 votes on one of the rounds.
Yeah, it's weird because Twitter seems like the most convenient way to vote for those who do twat or whatever.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's just like, you know, luck built by a push, hashtag, whatever.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Well, I encourage people to start twatting.
Yeah, you can do it on Facebook, you can do it on Twitter, and you can do it in our forums. That's where the most of the debate
twat at us.
You can twuple up and do it on all 5.
Yeah. 5 votes.
Just, but yeah, but again, Twitter's definitely the easiest. Just do it.
Absolutely.
Pretty low-tech week this week.
Well, let's move into those. Somebody want to read out that do they have in front of them? We can briefly go over what, just to remind everybody what the powers are of these three.
You do it, Luke, because you can do it faster than Norm.
Yeah. Beast number two is called Cricket Bat. He's Cricket Bat and Man. I shouldn't say he. It could be a she. Who knows?
Hey, Bo, yeah. Aren't you supposed to be drawing penises in all these animals this year to, like, differentiate the gender?
Yeah. And vaginas.
Forums. He has internal.
Have we ever had a female? Have we ever had a female Megabeast?
Yeah, we've had a couple.
Who? That's a good question. I don't remember any of them.
Specifically, who? I can't remember.
This is a gender-biased podcast. Of all the terrible things it is, that might be the worst that we're all, like, totally chauvinist.
If you want me to bring up the history page, I will rattle off some of the numerous females. We haven't had any overtly female, voluptuous, you know, boobily inclined ones, but we have ones that we have consensus agreed are, in fact, female.
Also, Bo, what about lesbian, gay, and transgendered?
Transsexual.
You had any?
No.
I mean, this is the 21st century, Bo.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, that's all we need to know about Cricket Bat.
Wait, he's got some powers, right? He can leap?
So Cricket Bat is 6'2",
yeah.
With a 12-foot wingspan, and he weighs 800 pounds, so pretty big.
He's the biggest.
Pretty big contestant. Half cricket, half bat humanoid creature that walks around in an old-fashioned cricket uniform with cricket bat in hand, leaps with cricket legs, glides with bat wings. Crickets also have wings, as an aside, but I'm not sure.
It prefers the bat.
I guess bat wings are better. Definitely more gliding with bat wings than cricket. Okay, so also he echolocates prey, even though you can totally see what a dick, uses his cricket bat to expertly and tediously block any offensive attack over and over again, like a good old-fashioned test Batman would, bores and confuses the hell out of any mega beast not from a cricketing nation, which is most of them.
I love that.
Yeah, that's a good write-up.
All right, Snectopus is awesome. That's the main thing you should know about Snectopus. He's he's octopus / cobra / rattlesnake / coral snake, for whatever reason, coral snake. Boa constrictor, 4'6" tall, so we're talking vertical here, and 400 pounds. He's the result of a botched teleportation experiment. The Snectopus is a vicious, wriggling cephalus serpent. He's got 8 highly venomous snake-ticles. That's like a tentacle, but snake-esque. Various flavors. Interesting. Like a popsicle? I don't know. It's a different
Yeah, like those freezy pops and the one that you eat in the summer.
Oh, otter pops?
Liquid. Yeah, I love those.
Oh, those are awesome. 2 poison, 2 paralyze, 2 spit, 2 dissolve flesh. And he's deceptively intelligent, much like Luke. Malleable shape due to the latent effects of the matter transmission ray. Snectopus is partially out of phase with the material plane, making it exceedingly slippery target.
See, that was a little bit over the edge right there. At that point, I was like, what the fuck?
You think it was just riding that line for a while there of in
your I was like, okay, yeah.
I have to interject. This was our old friend Stephen Lidster, and I could tell he was just trying to load as many powers into the beast as he could, so that description is actually taking certain powers away to at least make him fair for a first-round competitor.
Wow.
Still not very fair.
All right. Well, let me get to Luckbill Platypus here.
Yeah, number 3, Luckbill Platypus.
All right, so obviously he's a platypus. He is 3'5" long. He's also 300 pounds. He is a diminutive, peculiar monster with a magical nature, as perplexing to foes as the platypus is to mammalia as a whole. Lacks all but the most rudimentary physical attack, sharp teeth, claws. Far, though, from harmless. Can manipulate reality, in particular probability, to its advantage. Should a dive bomb attack be heading Luckbill Platypus's way, oh look, it misses. Should a knife-like feather be hurtling towards its blind side of hay, well, it bounces off a rock to return upon its foe, a charmed fellow, to be sure.
I didn't know that. That it was a could
die. Ah, somebody's starting to already doubt themselves, are we?
Well, he's so small, though. He's 3'5".
Yeah, he's 300 pounds. That's a rock, essentially.
It's not in the description, but it came up on the forums that he should technically have stinging shoulder blades.
Oh, right,
shoulder blades.
That's true.
So he has those. It's just not written in because he's a platypus, so you can just assume it.
I don't know. My problem with this platypus is that this is the second platypus we've had. Last season we had the Splatterpus, who like was maybe my favorite Megabeast ever. Yeah, I love that
one.
That's
season two, and it never actually competed.
Oh, that's true.
That's the sad thing about Splatterpus. He's just a card. He never saw the light of day.
He was an emo platypus. I mean, still. So this platypus is like just a shade of that former glory that was the Splatterpus back in season two.
I just like the way that you introduced that whole statement. It sounded like something from a like a talk show. Like, my thing with this platypus is,
I got a question for Mr. Platypus.
What is your nature so magical? Something like that.
So I'll just come out right and say it, since it is coming out day. I will say that I like Luck Build Platypus's chances, since just because he can manipulate reality, which is obviously one of the most powerful things you can do. And we see this through Scarlet Witch in Marvel Comics, who can have that same power.
It's not, we did have to clarify on the site, though, he's not quite Scarlet Witch level. He doesn't actually manipulate the events in reality. He just manipulates events that have already happened. So, for example, the thing I said was, if an anvil was falling on him, he could make it so the anvil doesn't land on him. He could not turn the anvil into a pillow. He also could technically make a lightning bolt strike somebody, but he could not make the weather turn into a lightning storm to do that. So he has them.
Okay. So wait a minute. So he could, if Snicktopus was about to paralyze him, he could change it to where Snicktopus paralyzes itself?
Yes.
Oh.
I would say so.
This argument's over.
As long as he can pay
this argument's over.
But does it have to be conscious, though? It has to be a conscious decision? Or does it kind of happen?
Yeah.
Conscious.
Well, of course. It's not going to be unconscious to make a decision.
I think intuitively, if you read that he's lucky, then you would assume that these things kind of happen like without him having to think about it. It's just like
chance.
That lightning bolt happens to hit someone else, But the fact that he has to, like, in a split second, concentrate on this, thing of poisonous.
No, not even in a split second. It could happen, and he could reverse it. To be like, no, I mean, I'm assuming it could happen. He could be like, I don't want that to happen, and it just reverses or whatever.
But it's got to be within the second that the poison's flying through the air. I mean, if it hits it.
I don't see a time limit. I don't see it strictly defined.
How do you think that the Snicktopus's malleable shape comes into play? How can he possibly, like, manipulate that if it's malleable and he has basically no idea? Maybe even Snicktopus doesn't even know what the shape is, like the chance right there.
No, Norm, you could definitely put him on your butt if that's what you're wondering.
Well, that's only one of the plethora of reasons, really, that makes this Snicktopus. Bo, is Luck-Billed Platypus is basically like Q from Star Trek, right? Like, he's unstoppable. Like, he can manipulate reality. So, Puss, is there any way to get to this thing? He's basically like an omniscient card.
Yeah, you attack it from his blind side. It has to have some kind of a cognizance of an event for it to change the probability of the event.
Oh, okay.
So if it doesn't know...
So you have to put it out right away. Like, you have to, like, put a bullet in its brain. Well, that's going to be hard to do because there's no projectiles left on my checks in this realm.
Snicktopus has a fitting cobra tentacle, so... Snicktacle, sorry.
Well, but again, that would require Snicktopus being close to Luck-Billed Platypus, which... I'm not going to speak to its, intellect, but I would say probably wouldn't allow to happen.
Yeah,
it only has an octopus brain. That is something we had to clarify because originally Steven gave it a full human brain, which just it's absurd.
But, an octopus brain is pretty close. Those guys are no slouches.
Mm-hmm. You could do worse for brains.
Yeah.
That is true.
That octopus a few years ago picked every World Cup match correctly, so maybe they even have some foresight.
Is that true? I didn't hear about that.
What? How did you miss that?
I don't give a f*** about soccer. Like, I'm surprised octopuses do.
Oh, please, the news. Any time in that two months, then you would have heard about it.
Hey, so how does probability factor in, though? Because, I mean, that's still an issue. It's not like it is a probability thing. Like, Luck-Billed Platypus could try and do something, like a risk game. You could still have, like, as Luke is well aware, and Kendall from me destroying both of them several times in Risk, you could have, like, two armies on, like, Siam, and then just pound everybody with, like, their millions of armies.
Actually, you could only pound them with one army because you have to leave one in Siam.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work.
That was well played, Monkey. Well played.
Well, but that also demonstrates another point with you and Risk is that the rules really don't apply to how you play Risk.
Right. Snaketopus is just going to knock over the whole board whenever he starts losing anyway. So.
Indeed.
So, yeah, do we have any sort of quantification on how much the platypus can alter probability?
I just assume if it's happening right in its face, it can just really have its way with anything. If it's happening out of the corner of its eye, it would have a lesser chance of affecting probability.
So, wait, Bo is essentially now a Plutarch from Hunger Games. He's the game master. He could just, on a whim, just create.
God, a Hunger Games reference, Kendall,
that's exactly.
Really?
That's another reason why people need to listen to the podcast, because when we ask Bo questions, I mean, that's law. What Bo says is law.
You're obsessed with Jennifer Lawrence. Oh, I don't really think she's that hot. I remember you, like, last year talking about Jennifer Lawrence when she was, I think, like 15.
I don't think so.
When she was, like, 15.
Did you develop your own winter's bone during winter's bone?
if we're gonna go to barely legal hot actresses, which I don't think we should, but if we are...
But here you go.
Then I'm going to go with the hot actress in The Descendants. It's way too young.
I thought you were going to say Michael Sarah, but that's a good call.
Michael Sarah.
Wait a second. I have to go. I need to make it to a bar trivia night. Can I weigh in on my final thoughts?
Give us your final thoughts here.
This one, well, it's hard because I can watch the voting and it looks like a Snaketopus runaway. So to kind of stem the tide, I'd like to say, if you're really looking at it from an objective standpoint, it's luck builds a platypus round to win. You know, it's an insane power to have.
I don't know.
Just being able
to... I swear to God, if we have red panda and luck build platypus, two these tiny little marsupial-like animals, it's just going to be... I mean, we might as well just let women contestants in here and start having women mega beasts. You know?
Oh, that would never...
Well, right now, Snaketopus is killing everybody on the forums. Which just signals that people aren't really thinking about.
Of all the fingers in the Fistum system, the Facebook seems to be the one that's the most populous in terms of the votes, and he's killing on that too. So he's carrying.
Oh, it's
fingers.
Over then.
That's an over knockout.
Wait, when is the deadline, Bo? Like when can you vote till?
Wednesday of next week, whatever that is. I'm not a Rain Man. I don't know dates.
That's the 16th.
That would be the 16th.
Yeah, May 16th. All right, Bo, have fun at trivia. We'll give Adam a ring here and see what that son of a bitch has to say about this.
Yeah. Talk to you later, guys.
See you, man.
See ya.
All right, Adam was taking a poop, apparently, and there he is.
He doesn't bring their phone into the shitter.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, Ad, just bring your phone into the poop.
I got one thing to say to Adam. actually to sing... to Adam.
Oh, it's beautiful.
That's lucky. He had two babies. One was 6 months, one was three. And the world started small.
Get the gist, Adam. I don't want to wait for our lives to be over to talk about some fucking megabeast, asshole. Because you're taking a shit.
I wasn't even done with my shit before I got up to run to the phone and missed it. Like, I had a very inadequate wipe job done there just for this call.
I was really just trying to get the topic off of Adam's poop-smeared thighs as he tried to get to the living room to answer the phone as we called. And then,
wait, his thighs are poop-smeared?
Who knows? Who knows with that guy? You know, he doesn't have enough iron.
Adam, is that true? Do you shit on your thighs? Or?
Yeah, I personally have never shit on my own thighs.
That's, I think, technically impossible unless you have one of those colostomy bags.
Yeah.
Or, like, an extremely prolapsed anus. You could just wrap around it. Imagine the practical jokes. You're like sitting at dinner, you could snake it around and like dump it in someone's suit.
That would be awesome. You could incorporate in Halloween costumes every year. Like you could go as the Snorks every year. Hey, since this is Mega Beast Deathmatch Podcast, who do you guys think would win in a fight between the Smurfs, the whole race, the civilization of Smurfs versus the civilization of Snorks?
Are we talking like Smurfs and scuba suits?
Yeah, or Snorks and, you know, some sort of land-based amphibian technology.
I take the Smurfs because they're used to fighting like much larger creatures like Gargamel and Azrael.
Yeah, I go Smurfs too. They're devious.
Weren't there only seven Smurfs? And one of them was a...
No, there's way more Smurfs than that. There's way more Smurfs than that.
Yeah, in the village that the show was based on, there was only like 10 or so. But I mean, that's only one village out of the Commonwealth of Smurfs that inhabit whatever general continent that Smurfs live on. I don't know. It's a fascinating thing to think about, though, isn't it?
There are originally 99 Smurfs, according to Wikipedia.
But a bitch ain't one. Even...
Oh, nice.
There was only one.
So now, let me look up Snorks.
Wait, that you just looked it up? That's a factual thing? There's 99 Smurfs?
Yeah, on the original show, there's supposed to be 99 Smurfs.
That's crazy. The things you learn on this podcast, huh?
Yeah, and they were all supposed to be 100 years old, except for Papa, Baby, Smurfette, Nanny, and Grandpa.
You know, I always thought about the Smurfs. I figured that the life cycle of the Smurfs, since Smurfette is the only female, like, she's got to be the queen Smurf, and she's got some sort of weird, massive egg sac that just, like, is all throbbing and nasty with this gelatin, and she just pumps out Smurf eggs.
I figure, like most animal species where there's, like, a dominant queen situation, other females are born, she just eats them.
Is Luke watching Desperate Housewives, or what's going on?
Luke?
No, I'm playing Mass Effect 3 multiplayer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, f***ing.
Well, I mean, you know, I had to wait for Adam's Iron Fishing ass to get off the toilet. I'd go with the cricket, actually.
Oh, my God. You just try to be different so bad. The cricket, of course.
No, this makes sense. This makes sense. Again, a full intellectual nature, and that's why... single reason why it's sagging with cricket bat, I would assume.
Yeah.
The cricket is large and sturdy. I think he's got the best defense of any of the characters, physical defense. I mean, he doesn't have the whole luck bullshit thing.
Yeah.
But I think he is physically adept to combat octopus, snakeopus, whatever. And I think that the whole confusion factor will give him a big edge on the platypus. I mean, the platypus has to understand the angles in order to change luck to its favor. And when the cricket is playing cricket, you know, with his face, he's not going to even understand what's going on.
That's a good point. It does say in the description, it says bores and confuses the hell out of any mega beasts that don't know how to play cricket, which is pretty much, I mean, nobody gives a shit about cricket. So, yeah. But again,
where's the platypus from, my friend?
Australia.
Yeah, and Australia is actually a very, not only a good team, but a very cricket-aware country.
How do you know what countries are good at cricket?
Well, actually, there's a thing called imperialism that the British Empire, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, Luke, but they actually owned a good portion of the world, and one of the most, you know, prized sports that they passed around the world was cricket. And so a lot of the countries that were once colonies of Britain still have the same customs, and cricket is one of them. That's why it's really important in places like Australia and India.
Wait, who's pretentious? I thought I was pretentious.
Australia, yeah, this is, again, more Wikipedia. Australia is the number one ranked team in cricket overall wins.
Does it really says that?
I don't know. Yes, go look it up, Australian national cricket team.
All right, because that does factor
in. So,
I was with Wikipedia and crickets earlier. Like actual crickets. And cricket fighting in China is hilarious. Like, since the Qing Dynasty or whenever, this has been a huge thing where they just get crickets. Like, they're purebred, really, like, high, well-bred, expensive crickets. And they breed these things and stuff, feed them with, like, high-protein stuff. And then before a match, they drop a little female cricket in there.
Really?
Wait, don't they outfit them sometimes, like, with some kind of weapons? Or, like, they put, like, stuff in their legs?
I don't know.
They have those, like, badass, like, jigsaw legs or whatever.
Stop and think a moment about an 800-pound cricket.
Yep.
That can think like a human being.
Think like a human, like a yeti, like, maybe.
The natural agility of a cricket at 800 pounds would
be. It can.
Yeah, it would be remarkable.
So now Kendall's on my side, too?
I just think it's too bad that he's going against essentially a creature that has the ultimate weapon.
Yeah, no, it's a tough draw, but I don't know. I think people are way over-interpreting how much luck this platypus gets.
I agree. Well,
I figured the luckful platypus only can manipulate probability. It gives two examples, and the examples are both probability things, not reality things. And the name being luck-filled platypus, not like time and space-altering
dimensional
transfusion platypus. Yeah.
Good point.
But anyway, but the snake's got all these arms. He's going to lash at him with him. And
the cricket bat you're talking about?
Yeah.
He's going to block a few as he gets in there. He doesn't know which one. Some kill you. Some paralyze you. Some poison you. which ones is he going to block? I don't know. That's a matter of luck. That's probability. Hopefully, he blocks the ones that kill him, that would kill him, while he goes in there and smashes it. Because I think one shot, he's going to take it out, but he's going to get bit in the process. It all depends on which tentacle he gets bit by. And that...
Yeah, well, but the thing is, she's covered with exoskeleton. I mean, is a snake going to be able to bite through that? I don't think so.
I think so. Yeah, snakes eat bugs.
I mean, an 800-pound...
But this is a 400-pound snake-topus.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, and boa constrictors open their mouth crazy huge to, like, be able to ingest things, you know, so...
Well, but what? So a big octopus maybe weighs 40 pounds. So that's a 100-fold increase. I mean, he's incredibly more powerful and strong than a...
The exoskeleton doesn't cover the entire body. It's just certain key parts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's belly, like a weak spot. That's... Haven't you ever played Legend of Zelda, Luke? And
yeah, but those weak spots are covered with cricket uniforms.
That's a good point. Cricket outfit. Yeah, well, you know what? I think that the cricket bat and snake-topus are the perfect competitors to go against luck-billed platypus because of the fact that snake-topus has a malleable shape and phases in and out of the material plane. And cricket bat is into cricket, which confuses the hell out of any other mega beast, and you never can guess. And so these are the two perfect things to take down this little tiny platypus, really. This platypus is the size of, like...
It's only platypus. It's not mixed with some higher thinking creature. This platypus doesn't know what the f*** is going on.
Hey, that's a really good point, actually. It doesn't say anywhere in there that he has any sort of intelligence.
About everybody, though.
No, you can't. Most of our contestants are mixed with some kind of intelligent creature.
Yeah, like a humanoid creature.
Is already very intelligent, especially in terms of defending and attacking and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, but a platypus, what the f*** does it know?
So it really is down to luck with him, because he can't actually manipulate reality. It's just a dice roll every time.
It says explicitly, can manipulate reality.
Yeah, it doesn't mean does.
Yeah, but only as far as he understands it. All he understands is like...
Well, what do you have to understand in a fight? It's a deathmatch, for Christ's sake.
Like, Adam just posed this scenario where the platypus understands that the snake has to bite the 800-pound cricket in exactly the right spot in order to paralyze it. That shit ain't going to happen. This platypus is sitting there. The only thing he understands is... objects moving towards it or away from it.
Yep.
Like, yeah, maybe it
can
make a...
What do you have to... But what more does it need?
It needs a fucking lot more. I mean, this cricket can jump over its head and it won't know where it is. And then it's going to hit it with a cricket bat from behind.
So and it won't see it hover over its head and it'll just be like, oh, cricket gone forever. Thank God.
No, he won't know where it is. So how, without knowing where it is, how is he going to affect anything? I mean, that cricket's going to be behind him.
All sort of ideas. You don't need to understand it. Like, it just
happens. No. We went over this. It's got to be consciously making decisions to alter reality. Things don't happen randomly for it.
Well, actually, look, again, on the actual description, it says, should a knife-like feather be hurled towards its blind side, it bounces off a rock to return upon its thrower.
Yeah,
that's
well,
in the
but,
description. That's like canon, mother.
But no, Bo, the Jesus to our
no,
old
that's
Testament
canon. That's
clear.
That's a bad model because the New Testament was written way after Jesus, just like this was written way after Bo. So.
Hey, but don't you think that what if we uphold the risk thing? Like, is that, I think that's a happy medium of everybody, right? Like, in
No, you lost that risk game. No one's
yeah.
that.
Not that particular risk game that I won where we played. I'm just saying, if it was like that, like if Luck-Billed Platypus is choosing his battle.
You remember that? You can't shoot two and pick one? A highly contentious risk game.
I don't remember that. What is that?
No, I remember that.
That was that complete. I don't remember all circumstances. I just remember that was like bellowed so many times.
Yeah.
I think.
Can't pick three. It was bullshit. It was that like I rolled like. Three.
Oh, that's right. And but you overrolled like that's,
right. And they were like, you're only allowed to roll two. And I was like, all right, we'll pick any of those two. And I still win. Like, no, you need to re-roll.
Oh yeah.
That's true. That's the rules.
Yeah, you can't roll three and pick two. My
I just screamed like 100 times at full volume. You can't roll three and pick two.
It's luck. Luck is, you don't have to know what is.
No, but it's consciously regulated luck.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't make any sense to what the...
Okay, so here's the compromise you have to make. Either it's consciously regulated luck, and if he is thinking about it, he can make anything happen. Or it's luck the way you would intuitively understand it, which is that randomly things work out for the better for this dude.
Yeah.
But that does not mean that anything under the sun that can help him will happen. It means that there's a higher chance that good things will happen to him. I don't think it can work the way Kendall's saying, where automatically, without ever seeing or thinking about anything, every single good thing possible happens to this thing.
But again, it says it can manipulate reality, in particular probability. So again, to its advantage. So it's almost like there's an active force there. The platypus is both an actor, has agency, because he's working it to his advantage. He knows that. And then at the same time, he has this luck of probability.
Okay, well, then the whole active part of it is really overrated because it's a platypus. It doesn't understand what the fuck is going on.
That goes back to animal nature. Any thing in a fight is going to fight or flight. And what do you need to know there?
I didn't read the Wheel of Time series, did you? Wheel of Time?
Norm's read some of that, haven't you?
No, I've never read it. Is that some sort of watch that is wheel-shaped? It's too thick. I don't read things like that.
Robert Jordan. I feel like whatever listener came up with this probably had a Robert Jordan character in mind, the guy who sort of did this. And it really helped him out a lot. And he never knew what was happening or how it was necessarily helping him out, his general weird sort of luck power.
What Platypus can do is there's a slot machine, and he can...
Wait, there's a casino now. Okay.
Yeah, it's a deathmatch casino. He can pull the thing down, and it goes down, he has a higher chance of winning, but he has to actively pull it down. Or does he walk into a casino and just have a better chance of winning everything a little bit? Either case, he's still walking into a casino, and a platypus would never do that, so...
Exactly. The platypus
makes it so much clearer.
That's my point. In this whole metaphor, the platypus would never go in the casino because it's a platypus, and it's like, I'm not going well.
Again, your point, y'all are going around the same point, but you're not actually doing anything that hurts the platypus. It's fine if it has a regular platypus influence because it's in a f***ing fight and it has luck on its side. What exactly do you not understand? I just don't get it.
There's things that can't be affected by luck. For instance, if an expert cricket player swings a bat, he's going to hit whatever is within his arm radius. That's not luck. I mean, if there's a 300-pound platypus standing next to him, luck doesn't come into play. He's going to hit the...
Are you fucking joking that cricket and baseball don't come into luck? Are you fucking...
I'm not talking about hitting a tiny little ball to a certain spot in a field. I'm talking about applying a large amount of force to a 300-pound object that's within arm's length. Luck has nothing to do with that.
Again, there's the reality concept. If he swings a bat, he will miss. I mean, what? How much more clear can that be?
I think I'm between y'all that, like, if it comes down to a perfectly healthy cricket bat versus the luck little platypus, the cricket's going to win. Like, he's not going to sit there and swing and miss the whole time. That's an abuse of luck little platypus's assumed powers here. I think that he's not going to get to him, though, without being bit by something that will paralyze or fuck him up a little bit. I think luck comes into play as to which snake is going to end up biting him. Not the one that kills him, because then Snaketopus will win.
Can we agree that the luck factor alone would have Snaketopus attack Cricket Bat right off the bat, at the get-go?
Yeah, I guess you could say that he would be more probable.
All right.
Can we agree
that, again, that Snaketopus can operate his, what, 8 highly venomous snake-ticles at the same time? It's not like one coming at it at the same time, right?
Octopus.
So, again, if we're going to factor in odd lucks and odds here, can we agree that it would be lucky for the Snaketopus to bite at least one effective bite on the cricket?
Yeah, I think so. I'm
out of eight tries.
Yeah.
Again, and so then you have an affected cricket bat that is now either alive or dead, is trying to fight something that has all the luck on its side and reality on its side.
Just because the octopus randomly decides to fight the cricket doesn't mean the cricket has to fight the octopus. I mean, they're not in a 4x4 foot.
Okay, so again, we have a 3-way draw.
No. The cricket can evade the octopus because it's a f***ing cricket with bat wings that can jump and fly.
Yeah.
And it kills the platypus. I mean, I don't see why the cricket has to go through the octopus in order to fight.
Here again, if you have human rights officers, and you start off in a forum, right, and you see a huge octopus with eight tentacles, and you see a platypus, as you all said, which is just a standard platypus, it's just large, right? Which one do you think is the bigger threat?
Dude, you take out the easiest one first so that you can concentrate on the hardest one. Why the fuck would you concentrate on the hard one and leave the easy one walking around?
Everything you're doing here is just, it reeks of desperation.
I'm just hearing Kendall trying to act like he's right and other people are wrong. Why would a relatively
because you've been throwing out logic all day. Here we go. Ad hominem. Ad hominem to be dead.
The hard one rather than the easy one.
Your dad's a hard one.
Why would you attack an easy one and let the hard one roam around? That's the dumbest strategy. So if we can agree on one thing, it is that this round is could be very highly debated, even though it looks like, for whatever reason, Snectopus is running away with this thing.
Yeah, whoever wins out of this round is going all the way, just because of each of the contestants kind of has a weakness, but, like, their strength is kick-ass. So when you put them all together, that's going to be...
All right, well, hey, this has been productive. That was actually probably the most we've ever talked about animals fighting with superpowers ever. I'm proud of us.
I agree.
And ashamed of us at the same
Best
time.
Best podcast ever? It's actually too intense. I mean, I don't like having to blow Luke out of the water like that. I mean, I'm used to more blowing his dad.
Classic Kendall trying to tell people who won the debate.
Yeah.
I think the people know who won.
I don't know. I'm with them on that. That's pretty interesting. It's like, which came first, the platypus egg or the... I don't know, I lost that metaphor. Chicken? I don't know. You get the spirit of my argument there.
Your metaphors today are spot on.
They're spotty, like your dad's underwear on a Friday night. And on that note, call in the Mega Beast Deathline Hotline, which I found. It was 443-552-3336, because it wasn't what you heard last week. It wasn't, repeating, it wasn't... As most things you hear on this podcast are false, so was the number to call in last week. 443-552-3336. That's 443-DAD-DONG. And again, that is false, like most things you'll hear on this podcast. So it's 443-552-3336. So yeah, go to megabeast.com, buy some cards, vote. You can vote there. You can also find out how all the stuff works. It's the conduit, the central hub of where to go for this whole podcast.
Good discussion today. I'm really impressed with our points. Specifically mine. Good job, Luke. That's great.
Until the next
time. Love you guys.
Like you guys, too. See ya.
Peace out.
No way that the bat survives this. And what's more sad is that clearly Snectopus dies because of, you know, his inability to breathe and his inability to move. So this is a clear platypus victory. What I'm really concerned about is the fact that some people might be swayed by the agility and the bat-wieldingness of the cricket bat. So, a couple things. First, a bat is one of the most insufficiently iron-deficient, weak mammals of the entire mammalian kingdom, or phylum, or whatever. Specifically, if you hit a bat, it dies. And a cricket is the same way. Yes, it has an exoskeleton, but it's a very weak exoskeleton. This entire animal is the Joe Glass of Super Animal Deathmatch. There's no possible way that it can survive being hit once. Now, if you combine that with an animal that can reverse probabilities to ensure that it can at least more than 50% of the time land a knockout blow... done instantaneously. And this is to say nothing about the fact you take one of the cricket's feelers away, it's fucked. Its perception is totally gone. It's running around hitting itself in the face with a bat that, by the way, is not in any way aerodynamic. It's giant and flat. You see that thing coming at you, you've got at least 3 to 4 seconds of reaction time before it actually lands a blow. Therefore, I think this is just ridiculous that there's any possible way that anyone but our friendly plucky platypus would win this battle.
This message is for Bolivar Guzman. If you are not Bolivar Guzman, please hang up or disconnect.